Thank you for letting us join you with today's Richard Ellis Talks. If you're looking for some challenging encouragement and some words of hope, that's exactly what Pastor Richard wants to talk about today. Now, if you're not able to stay with us for the entire program, you can always pick it back up at our website, richardellistalks.com. Every talk can be listened to whenever you're ready, on your own time, at richardellistalks.com. Then, at the end of today's program, Pastor Richard himself will share some extremely important news about this urgent season we're in, as we literally try to keep the lights on and continue to be a source of God's hope for you and the ones you love. So, with today's talk, here's Richard Ellis.
The title of today's message is Against the Anointed One. So, Jesus' last name obviously is not Christ. It's not, I did a sermon years ago called Mr. Christ, as though that were his name. So his last name is not Christ. It's Jesus is his name and Yeshua. And then you have Christ as a title. So Christ comes from the Greek word Christos, which comes from a Hebrew word that means Messiah, that means anointed one. So when you speak of Jesus, you just say, well, there's Jesus or Yeshua. You got all these people named Jesus. But only one is named Jesus the Christ. Now, why is that? Because he is the anointed one. Now, you are either against the anointed one or you are for the anointed one. Which is it? Go to Matthew chapter 16, 13. When Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" So they said, "Some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Okay, that's who they say. "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered and said, now in the context of what I'm trying to tell you, look what comes out of this man's mouth. "Who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." That is not an anti-Christ statement. Then Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." Now, let me tell you something, and I know that you say, well, this is more of a technical message about the Antichrist. It's not just technical. You cannot become a Christian unless the Father draws you to himself. You can't just decide out of nowhere, oh, I think I'm going to believe. If you are not for Christ, and if you are for Christ, it is because the Father has drawn you. If you are not for Christ, you are anti-Christ. And when someone says to Jesus, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God," Jesus even says to him, "You didn't come up with that by yourself." So if you believe that Jesus is the Christ, you can't say that. You can't believe that by yourself. So when you're talking to your family, to your friends, to people that you're sharing the gospel with, you say, well, I want so bad for them to be saved. You plant the seed, you share the gospel, but they are anti-Christ until they are for Christ. And the only way they can be for Christ is to believe and to receive and to have him not just be with them, but in them that we talk about so much. And now they are his child, one of his children, and they move it forward. Go to Matthew 24, 24. So the warning here about what was going to come. "For false Christs and false prophets will rise and show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect." Now, these people that this was written to thought all of that we are reading about was going to happen immediately back then. And it's 2,000 years later, but all this stuff has been happening all along the way. Since Jesus left the planet, there have been false Christs, people who claim to be the Messiah, and false prophets who claim to be speaking on behalf of God, and they rise and show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. Stop being wowed by miracles. Stop getting, oh my gosh, look what that person did, and assuming it's of God. You say, but it's a miracle. Ask the Holy Spirit if it's his work. And if you're a believer, you have the Spirit of God living in you, so you know his voice. So you can't just blindly go out there and say, wow, that guy did that thing. The magicians with Moses kept up for a while. They were doing miraculous, amazing things. Moses would throw down, they'd throw down, but then they ran out of tricks. Because at some point, only God can do certain things. So you say, whoa, but they're doing signs and wonders. The devil can do signs and wonders. Make sure it's God himself, because it says this is going to get so wacky that they'll deceive, if possible, even the elect. So even God's people will go, well, yeah, but it looks so much like it was a God thing. Everything that looks like a God thing is not necessarily a God thing. John chapter 8. And there's a bunch of examples of this. I don't have time to read you all of them, so I'm going to just give you one here. John chapter 8, verse 8. You say, well, how does this spirit of Antichrist, how does this thing against Jesus manifest? Go down to verse John 8, 49. Jesus answered, I do not have a demon. Now, this is an exchange with the Pharisees and Sadducees. I do not have a demon, but I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. And I do not seek my own glory. There is one who seeks and judges. Most assuredly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he shall never see death. Then the Jews said to him, now we know that you have a demon. Now these Jewish leaders are saying to Jesus, we know you're demon possessed now. Abraham is dead and the prophets. And you say, if anyone keeps my word, he shall never taste death. Like, who do you think you are? Are you greater than our father Abraham, who is dead, and the prophets are dead? Who do you make yourself out to be? Like, who? It's literally, who do you think you are? You must be demon-possessed, because it sounds like you're claiming to be somebody you shouldn't be claiming. Jesus answered, if I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father who honors me, of whom you say that he is your God, and you claim that my dad is your God. Yes, you have not known him, but I know him. And if I say I do not know him, I shall be a liar like you. But I do know him and keep his word. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day. And he saw it and was glad. Then the Jews said to him, you are not yet 50 years old, and have you seen Abraham? Now this is where it's about to go down. And Jesus said to them, most assuredly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. Then they took up stones to throw at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. Now, what did he just say? I'm God. Why would they be against Jesus? Because they are anti-Christ. He was the Messiah. He's not a false Christ. He's not a false prophet. He's the real deal. But even the Jewish leaders, who should have recognized him immediately. So this antichrist thing can be in religious worlds, embedded in churches, in denominations. You say, yeah, but it's a church. Just because it says church doesn't mean it's a church. A church is not a building. Buildings burn. Churches, those kind of, we call them churches. It's a terrible mistake we've made. We named the building church. Church is people. Regardless of the building you're in, or if you're not even in a building, a church is a gathering of people. It's a group of people, the global church, and then you have local church. But it has never been a building. Go to 2 Thessalonians 2. Now, there's a lot of discussion out there about when all this stuff's going to, what sequence this stuff is going to go down, and I'm not going to get off into this today, but let me say this. I believe it's getting so nuts that Jesus will come back any minute. Amen. Right? You say, okay, well, is he going to come back any minute? Well, he could. But if he doesn't, and your interpretation of the end times is off, either you have to be prepared, or you have to prepare your children so that they can prepare their grandchildren, so they can prepare your great-grandchildren and your great-great-grandchildren. You got to pass something on that prepares them for, it's not if, it's when all hell breaks loose. 2 Thessalonians 2, look at verse 1. Now, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to him, we ask you not to be soon shaken in mind or troubled, either by spirit or by word or by letter, as if from us, as though the day of Christ had come. So it hasn't happened yet. He's saying to them here, to the church at Thessalonica, let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the falling away comes first. And the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshiped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. So that's going to happen before Christ returns. When that goes down, you will know it. The whole world will know it. The temple will be rebuilt. And whoever this is, the man of sin is revealed. Someone will be sitting in there claiming to be God. Do you not remember that when I was still with you, I told you these things? And now you know what is restraining, that he may be revealed in his own time. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way. And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteousness, deception among those who perish because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. Now, you say, oh, well, what is that? It's coming. Look at verse 9 again. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan with all power, signs, and lying wonders. So there will be things happen, and you'll go, oh my gosh, he's got to be God because he could not do these things if he weren't. I'm not saying don't be impressed by what God does. Be sure it's God that's doing it. Ultimately, our goal is to be impressed by God, not by what he does. The universe is a manifestation. It's proof of what he is capable of. He can create a 2 trillion galaxy and climbing universe as they discover more, and he holds it in the span of his hand. Like, who is he? He's not even big. There's no word for it. So it's not even his size. It is his greatness. It is his power. And the fact that he is so great and he knows me is unbelievable. How does he know you? What is man that he is even mindful of us? You can't even say we're a speck in the universe. We're not even dust. We're nothing in terms of a planet in this vast universe. And yet on this planet, this is where Jesus comes. We are the ones he dies for. And this is where Satan is concentrating his anti-Christ. Doesn't say anti-Christian, anti-Christ. But if you're associated with Christ, he is against you. 1 John chapter 4. 1 John 4, verse 1. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. Don't believe everything you hear. You say, but it looks so shiny and successful and beautiful, and they're promising all these things. Test the spirits. You say, well, how do you do that? You ask the Holy Spirit who lives in you, does my spirit, which is him, bear witness with your spirit or whatever is going on? Like, Holy Spirit, is this of you? If you ask the questions, even if you don't ask the questions, you should have alarms going off if you're walking with God when you get in a situation and someone is teaching lies. And it all sounds Christian. It all's couched in religious ease. But when you break it down, are they denying that he is the Messiah? Are they compromising on sin? Not that we don't understand that people are sinners and struggle, but they're not just trying to roll all the sin up into their church and say, oh, it doesn't matter anymore. The world's changed. God's changed. By this, look at verse 2. So you say, well, how will I know? How do I test the spirits? By this, you know the Spirit of God. This is how you know it's the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ, Jesus the Messiah, the Anointed One, has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. Now, what's the difference here? You say, well, but they say they believe that a guy named Jesus lived. That's not what this says. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus, with the title Christ, Anointed One, Messiah, that he, the Messiah, has come in the flesh is of God. They won't confess that. And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and is now already in the world. So don't ask people, say, well, do you believe that Jesus lived? They'll usually say, yes. Do you believe that he is the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of the living God? They will not be able to say that out loud apart from the Spirit of God. And if they do, you say, well, then what does that mean? Do you believe that personally? Is that your conviction? Because you can't get saved unless Jesus is the Messiah. I don't need a nice teacher. A nice teacher can't do anything for me. There were great teachers, great rabbis. They were impressive. They were knowledgeable. Paul, before he got saved, was very knowledgeable in Jewish law, but he didn't know Jesus. Revelation 13. Now, when you read the book of Revelation, you say, well, I don't get it. It's very confusing. And even people who study it say it still can be very confusing. So imagine this is written by a guy 2,000 years ago, and he is seeing things in the future, at least up to our time, because these things have not happened yet. So it's at least up to our time or past. So what do we have now they did not have then? Rockets, tanks, helicopters. What will there be that we don't have now? Who knows what that is? But whenever this is going to happen, God revealed, revelation came to him, and he saw what is coming in the future, which would be now, just, you know, pretty soon, or much later, or sometime in the future. So whatever he sees, he has no category for these things. There are no words to explain what he sees. So you say, well, I don't get it either, because we don't know what it is either. All I can tell you is, when you read it, what he saw is what's coming. I trust that. And don't get caught up and say, well, but, you know, speak like a, you know, like a dragon. I didn't know dragons spoke except in the movies, you know. So look at Revelation 13. Just read it and don't get bogged down. Then I stood on the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rising out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and on his horns 10 crowns, and on his heads a blasphemous name. So it's not going well already. Now the beast which I saw was like a leopard, and his feet were like the feet of a bear, and his mouth like the mouth of a lion. The dragon gave him his power, his throne, and great authority. And I saw one of his heads as if it had been mortally wounded, and his deadly wound was healed. So a deadly wound, and then all of a sudden he's healed. And all the world marveled and followed the beast. So the entire planet is going to see this, because now we got broadcast, everybody can see what happens anywhere on the planet. They will see this, and what will happen? They will follow the beast. So they worship the dragon who gave authority to the beast, and they worship the beast, saying, now these are these things, who in the world would say this stuff out loud? Who is like the beast? Who is able to make war with him? Now what do we as Christians say? Who is like our God? Who is able to make war with him? But they are worshiping this beast as though he is God. And he was given a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and he was given authority to continue for 42 months. Then he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God to blaspheme his name, his tabernacle, and those who dwell in heaven. It was granted to him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And authority was given him over every tribe, tongue, and nation. So the whole planet, he's got authority over it. He's blaspheming God, and he's defeating the saints. All who dwell on the earth will worship him, whose names have not been written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. So if I'm on the planet, you say, well, your theology's messed up. Let me just say this. I will not worship because my name is in the book. You say, well, how are you so sure your name's in the book? Because Jesus saved my sorry soul from sin, death, and the grave with his powerful blood, and my name is in the book. So you say, well, it looks like it's all been predetermined. If the people who don't worship are the people whose names have been written in the book of life of the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world, then what if my name's not in the book? I don't know. Let's get it in the book. Well, how do you get it in the book? You say, yes, that he is the Christ, the Son of the living God. He's Messiah. You trust him with your life. You say, but if I do that, is he going to add me to the book? You were already in the book. You say, well, how can that be? Because he already knows who's going to get saved. You say, I don't understand. You're not God. He is. Stop asking all questions you can't answer. Just get in. If anyone has an ear, let him hear. He who leads into captivity shall go into captivity. He who kills with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. Then I saw another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had 2 horns like a lamb and spoke like a dragon. And he exercises all the authority of the first beast in his presence, and he causes the earth and those who dwell in it to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. So this one, this beast, is forcing people to worship the beast whose head was healed. He performs great signs so that he even makes fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. And he deceives those who dwell on the earth by those signs which he was granted to do in the sight of the beast, telling those who dwell on the earth to make an image to the beast who was wounded by the sword and lived. He was granted power to give breath to the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and do what? And cause as many as would not worship the image of the beast to be killed. So apparently there are people at that point who will not worship the image of the beast and they die. Now you say, well, if I was on the planet somehow and you can make your theology work, I'm on the planet and this goes down and I don't worship the beast, you're going to die. Now look what's after this. He caused all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hand and on their foreheads, and that no one may buy or sell except one who has the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. You say, well, what about the mark of the beast? The only way you can make it to the mark of the beast is to have worshiped the image of the beast. So you say, well, there won't be anybody left. So everyone who gets the mark refused to worship and they're dead. So these people have all bought in. So people that say, well, what if I'm a Christian and, you know, could you worship the beast? And then going, oh my gosh, what have I done? Now I won't take the mark of the beast. I mean, you're in a heap of trouble. Just get you some Jesus and avoid all these problems, right? And walk with him today so that when stuff goes down, you're ready. See, if you're walking in the truth, you know what the truth is, you abide in the truth. When you hear something that's not right, you say, that's not true. You say, yeah, but you've called out religions. You've called out different things. Of course you call them out. They're not true. What do you think is trying to screw the world up? It's this anti-Christ spirit. And literally an anti-Christ is coming. That's the whole purpose, is to deceive, to lie, to lead people astray. Here's wisdom. Let him who has understanding calculate the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man. His number is 666. Now, everybody in the world's trying to figure this one out. Just very briefly, the Greek alphabet and the Hebrew alphabet did not have numbers. Letters corresponded to numbers. So these, if you look at the original manuscripts of this, these numbers are written in Hebrew. And if you take the Hebrew alphabet and match up numbers, what was so crazy about this is those numbers at that time would have spelled out Nero Caesar. Now you say, well, is that the Antichrist? They sure thought he was. That's the name that is spelled out by 666. He said, but he's dead. So who is it? I'm not claiming to know. I'm just telling you, they were not likely at that time to call out Nero Caesar in the book of Revelation, but that's the number. Yeah, it's what I just said a minute ago. Get you some Jesus. Why are you fighting him? Why are you anti-Christ? Why are you against the anointed one? You say, well, I don't think I am. Then say yes. If you're not against him, you're for him. And if you're for him, you understand he's for you and that he died on a cross, was buried, raised from the dead to rescue you from sin, from hell, from death, from all this stuff. Why would you be against that? It's because the enemy has lied to you and told you, you don't need that. You can do it by yourself. You can save yourself. That's never worked. Hell is filled with people who thought they could save themselves or just gave God the finger and marched in. So simple things based on what we've read. Do you believe that Messiah, Jesus is the Messiah, come in the flesh? So I read you that passage where Jesus asked the disciples, who do you say that I am? And what is your answer? You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. That sounds like somebody who's for Christ, not anti.
Thank you for listening to Richard Ellis Talks. This program has always been about not only providing daily encouragement, but also daily challenge to help us grow in our faith, to continue being shaped into the person God desires us to be. That's always been the mission of Richard Ellis Talks, to clearly share the simple message of the gospel in a way that leads people to Jesus. So as we wrap up today's talk, Pastor Richard comes back to share an urgent, even critical financial challenge that we're going through this fall.
Hey, this is Richard Ellis. You don't get many of these messages from me, but I just want to take a few moments to explain to you how this works. We are not a mega church sponsored ministry. We don't have a rich donor that backs this. And some people don't even understand that, you know, the airtime we have to pay for. So we have mechanisms, online radio stations that broadcast the message, but it takes money. And you are the only source of that that we have. So if you're being blessed by this and you want it to continue, we're trying to proclaim that Jesus is the light of the world, but we got to keep the lights on at the same time somehow. So pray about what you can do to help us. The sooner the better. We need to hear from you. And just as you pray, ask God what He'd have you do. And if you do that, then we're going to be fine. But we do need your help, and we need it soon. And really appreciate you in advance. Just want to say thank you for your support. God bless you, and hope to hear from you soon.
To lock arms with us during this serious time of need for the future of this program, just go to the website, RichardEllisTalks.com. Our simple and secure contribute page makes it easy for you to become a new and vital financial partner. Your generosity will directly impact our ability to continue this important work. So thank you for listening to the Daily Talks. Thank you for praying for us, and thank you for considering this urgent financial request. The website, RichardEllisTalks.com. And we'll continue our daily journey together next time with more Richard Ellis Talks.